Hello, my friends. This is Andy and Hedia coming to you today on a Worship Sunday.
Worship Sunday. Happy Sunday, folks.
Happy Sunday for the Living Fearless Devotional.
A production of ResurrectMinistry.com, where we're harnessing the power of the internet to share the gospel to every corner of the earth. He'll meet you where you are.
Have you met him? My t-shirt.
Sit up straight.
Can't see my t-shirt.
Anyways. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ is living, and he is risen, folks. Still, he is still risen. We have great resources on the website, worship bands, Bible resources, pastors you may never have heard of, some of our favorite pastors, of course, and our past episodes of our show, articles I've written in the past for the Christian Post, and a comment section. So drop us a line. Let us know what you think. If you have any prayer requests, if you'd just like to talk about your walk with Jesus, we love to make ourselves available. So we love to hear from you. Please drop us a line. And if you can't partner with us, you can click the donate now button. And in terms of the social medias, if you could like, share, subscribe, give us a 5-star review. That's like saying amen. That's Jack's tagline. I stole it.
I love that you took the social medias.
Yeah, I still have
adopted that as your own. You do a lot of stealing, apparently.
I do.
Still from Jack, still from me.
Yep.
Hey, make sure and comment and let us know what you think about Hedia stealing all of our sayings or about God's word.
I keep it in the family.
Yeah. About God's word as we read the scripture or A.W. Tozer in his devotional. Just comment there in the little section, wherever you're watching from, whether it's Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitch, X, or Rumble. That would be great. That tells other people that you're interested in what it is we're doing, and then they will see it. So please comment as much as possible. Say hi. Tell us where you're watching from. That would be great. Make sure you also let us know if you have any prayer requests. Towards the end of the show, we will end in prayer, and we will include your prayer request when it comes that time. Make sure and check out. Oopsie, I did that again. There we go. Make sure and check out our sponsors down there in the description. We have a few links that you can click on and just check those people out. That would be great. LifeWise is one of those companies. So use the URL livelifewise.tv. That lets them know that you are being sent from our broadcast, and check out some of the supplements that they have there. That would be great. And then you want to also, oopsie, check out StreamYard. That's where we're using the broadcast view. If you have a church, maybe you want to broadcast your messages and you want to use something that will give you a little bit more of a professional edge, use StreamYard. Go to getstreamyardnow.com. And again, that lets them know that it comes from our show. And lastly, make sure and open your Bibles up to 1 Peter 1, 21 through 25. 1 Peter 1, 21 through 25. We'll be diving into that just a little bit later on. But for now, we're reading A.W. Tozer from May 26th. The Imperfect Interpreters. 1 Peter 1, 23 and 25 is the reference, and it says, being born again by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. This is the word of the Lord, which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now that is King James. So we'll be reading from, what is it?
New Living Translation.
New Living Translation, which will make that a little bit clearer, and we'll go a little bit beyond 23 and 25. A.W. says, often our missionaries have told us of difficult times they have had with interpreters. The expression of the missionary may go in one way and come out with a different sense to the hearer. And I think when we expound the scriptures, we are often guilty of being imperfect interpreters. I shall do the best I can to catch the spirit of the man, Peter, and to determine what God is trying to say to us and reduce the interference to a minimum. Now, I suppose more people would like me if I were to declare that I preach the Bible and nothing but the Bible. I attempt to do that, but honesty compels me to say that the best I can do is to preach the Bible as I understand it. I trust that through our prayers and the Spirit of Christ, my understanding may be right. If you pray and if I yield and trust, perhaps what we get from 1 Peter will indeed be approximately what Peter would say if he were here in person. We will stay as close as we can to the word of the living God.
Dear Lord, guide me constantly by your Spirit so that I may be a faithful mouthpiece. Amen.
That is a pretty good synopsis, I think, of when man gets involved in reading God's word, that the best we can do is give the people that are listening our understanding of what it is we're reading.
Right. And I mean, you can read the literal English translation, because it's not the original Greek or Hebrew. We can read the translation, but even the translations are somewhat of a summary, because they're not equivalent words in the English language.
No, especially not this particular bit of scripture, because we've looked at 4 different versions, I think.
Yes.
And they all sound very different.
Yes, exactly. I unfortunately have not had the pleasure of being around interpreters on a missionary trip, but I did when I was in Islam. And it was always fascinating to me how you would hear somebody, the preacher, speak 2 sentences, but the interpreter was speaking like 6 or 7 sentences. And I would sit there and think to myself, I wonder what they're saying. Like, I wonder what they got out of that. Because sometimes they're very complicated subjects. And so I'm sure this happens in Christian missionary work as well, where they're explaining kind of complicated subjects. Mm-hmm. And then an interpreter, so you have to rely on the interpreter to be strong enough in their own faith to understand what it is you're trying to convey from God's word, which is already 1 step removed. Mm-hmm. And then that their command of the language is enough that they could articulate what they think they understood.
Right.
So there's a lot that gets lost in that translation. So I love the fact that Tozer says it takes the praying of the listener and the yielding and trust of the speaker. That God's word will go forth and do the work that it sets out to do and will not return void. And all of the other miraculous power we rely on for God's word to go forth and not be dependent on the shortcomings of the speakers.
Right. You also wonder if in some of these other languages that there's maybe not a word for certain things. Like for, I'm just throwing this out there.
Or there's different words.
Sure, too, but yeah. A watercraft, it could be anything. I mean, because a watercraft could be a boat, it could be a ship, it could be a rowboat, it could be a sailboat, it could be a battleship.
Yeah.
Those are all watercraft. So when you're telling a story, it can make a huge difference what type of watercraft you're talking about. And then I've heard also that, I mean, and back to my visual point, I've heard in some dialects that there isn't certain words for certain things.
Sure.
They just don't have them. So that would change the verse.
Absolutely.
If there is no word for it, you have to come up with something else.
Again, why we rely on the Spirit in those circumstances. And I mean, you hear these wonderful stories of missionaries who say they never spoke the language, the native language, but yet the gospel went forth and people were converted without any visible understanding of each other's languages.
I think that's why it's important that, you know, if again, revisit my time as a Christian in name only, where I was just listening to one church's version of, you know, their interpretation of the Bible. I didn't leave with much information, with much knowledge. I mean, not.
It's fascinating.
You know, and then so then I changed churches, and then we have somebody who teaches the Bible quite differently with Pastor Jack Gibbs. Right. That's not where it ends. He often says, and I think I've heard him say it more lately, or maybe it's just because now I'm more aware of it. He says, don't believe what I'm about to tell you.
Yes.
I want you to read. I'm going to tell you this. Now you go and read the Bible.
Absolutely.
You go and look at, other, great scholars when it comes to this particular passage, and you see for yourself what it is that you hear. And I love that.
Right.
Because it really encourages you to do something more than just sit in that chair and then leave.
Yep.
And then before we prepare for a show, as we're preparing for a show, we will click on the different interpretations of the Bible, the different books, and see what it says. And like in this scripture, we notice great differences between the different books.
Absolutely.
So I really been enjoying that a lot. The going deeper in God's word with all these great people, and then sleeping to sermons every night.
You think it's getting absorbed?
I do.
I hope so.
I do, because I think sometimes
how many of you believe in Bible by osmosis?
I mean, there's a period of time where we're, you know, still wide awake, not wide awake, fairly awake.
Yeah.
And then we are dozing off, but we're still hearing.
Yes.
And then we're out. And you're talking about that time that we're out. Are we still bringing in the information? Is it still, is the brain still
dozing? And then there's a period of time, inevitably, at the end, I wake back up.
Oh, because you know it's coming to an end.
No, because a voice gets loud or I'm tossing or turning or something. So I'll catch the tail end almost always.
I think it's because your brain knows that it's coming to an end.
Really?
Yeah, and it's telling you, hey, it's over. You need to turn off your phone.
But I don't need to turn it off. It just will stop playing. Mine's not on repetitive play or continuous play.
Yeah, mine will play the next.
Yeah, week. Yours. Oy, that's why I don't like you to use your phone. Mine will stop after one sermon. I don't have it on continuous play.
Because usually it goes to Mark.
Yeah.
Hey, welcome everybody. I caught myself.
Did you?
Yes. He tells me when I tell stories, I always get to a point in my story where I yell.
Yes.
I don't always yell at all my stories.
Yes.
Just on occasion.
There's always a yell. Always a yell somewhere.
Oh my gosh. All right, let's see who's watching. Oh, look at that.
Hello. Hi, Kathy. Hi, folks. Just happened to catch you watching from the storm shelter, tracking tornado.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no. Let's pray about that for sure.
Yes.
Peace be still in Jesus' name. What? Remind me. Are you in Florida, Kathy? Florida?
Yeah, I would say
forgive me.
Texas. Or
I can't remember because I know she's told us. Yeah. Good day, Kate. You know tornadoes in Australia, right?
They might have some.
Ever? I mean, in all cities or?
I don't know. It just seems to me that Australia would because they have the hot, cold. It has to do with hot, cold air, right?
Is it?
It causes the wind to blow in such a way.
I don't know anything about tornadoes.
Hot air, cold air. And some other stuff. But yeah, I would think that they do. They probably call them something else.
You think?
Whirlwinds.
Whirly winds?
Yeah.
Whirly whirls?
Whirly winds. No tornadoes here.
No tornadoes.
Like that. I would think that they would.
I didn't think they did.
Huh. Interesting. Do you have earthquakes?
I think they do have earthquakes.
You think so?
It's possible. So.
Wow, okay. One of our kids just came
barreling through the door.
All right, let's get to the scripture as
we begin
to First Peter again. Oh, no, wait.
I got it.
First Peter 1:21-29. We have a lot of First Peter up there. I wasn't sure I was on the right First Peter.
I do. I'm following. I'm tracking.
Okay.
It's my part. It's my job. First Peter, starting at 21. Through Christ, you have come to trust God, and you have placed your faith and hope in God because he raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory. You were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth. So now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart, for you have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living word of God. As the scriptures say, people are like grass. Their beauty is like a flower in the field. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And that word is the good news that was preached to you.
Hmm.
So what struck me, if this strikes you, is that you were cleansed from your sins because you obeyed the truth. So now, as a result of being cleansed, knowing the truth, show each other sincere love. That doesn't seem to follow from to me, that would not follow from that sentence. So think of the importance that God places on brotherly love when it is the natural outpouring of having been cleansed from sins. So in my layperson's understanding, I would say to myself, oh, wow. Like when my heart is cleansed by the truth, I have more empathy and compassion and kindness and gentleness. And the best consequence of that would be to love on my brethren.
Hmm.
But it would not have been instinctual to me.
No, because it's almost like, you know, you've taken a shower and gotten clean, but now that means you can go and get dirty again.
What?
No, like, so if you've been cleansed of your sins,
okay.
I think that many people think, it's, I think that's how Catholics live.
Okay.
They go in and they go to the priest inside that little telephone booth where you talk to him and he's behind that screen.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, you know, ask you about, have you sinned? And you say, yes, Father, I have sinned. I, you know, lusted after a woman and had bad thoughts.
Okay.
And then he says, okay, do 10 Hail Marys and something else.
Right.
And then so you go out and do those. So, oh, thank God, now I'm all clean. Now you're free to go back out and do it all over again. Because you know you're going to be able to go back and take that shower again or go back into the confession.
Okay. And therefore... I'm sorry, do a follow. Do you have to follow the circle? Because I don't. Okay, you got that. Now, how does that have to do with?
I think that's what I get. That some people do that. What it's saying here that you've been cleansed, but so that allows you to now go out there and participate in jocularity all over again.
But that's not what the scripture says.
No.
No.
Okay, then read it again to me. No, what am I missing?
It's saying you were cleansed from sin. And when you obey the truth, so now you must show sincere love to each other, to your brothers and sisters. So in other words, as a result of getting rid of your selfishness and your lust and your focus on self, go out and serve your brother and sister.
Yes. And so what I was saying is that we don't get to that other part. It's just you were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth. And then we stop there.
Oh, so we are not even listening.
No.
What did you mean God was commanding us to go and get dirty?
No, us in our flesh, as human beings.
Okay.
Go, oh, good. We're cleansed. Whew. I'm good. And then maybe you're good for a little while, but we go, you know, I'm all kind of clean now. I can go back to doing just a little bit.
That must be a Catholic thing. I don't get that. I mean, I came from a Muslim tradition, so we were scared of doing evil ever.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You were scared of hell every second of your life.
I know I have some Catholics out there. Am I wrong on that? I believe that that's kind of the thing, that as a Catholic.
It was kind of like car wash.
Yeah.
Car wash. Keep those kind of machines coming.
Or you could be like, you know, kids, you know, when kids are and you tell them, even I said this when I was a kid, and they said, you know, my mom would say, go make your bed. And I go, why would I go make my bed? I'm just going to mess it up again. I said, no, you make your bed so that you get into the habit of cleaning up after yourself. And this is a habit. You start with making your bed.
Amen.
And it starts with everything else. You do something and then you clean up after yourself and you make it fresh for the next time. So everything's in order.
Yes. Order.
Okay. But then you're going to mess it up again.
Kathy. That was one of those narcoleptic talks. Okay. I'm Kathy's in South Central Kentucky right now. And the storms in Kentucky and Tennessee. Oh. Kathy, were you always in Kentucky? Because Kentucky, I don't remember. Don't remember that state. And Kate is saying she does not have earthquakes, a little tremor now and then, but lots of killer sharks, spiders and snakes, and other scary critters. And Coco Meadows, not sure, still Kareen Meadows. Scary confessionals. I think she remembers those Catholic days too. And she thinks that's wishful thinking, Andy. And Katie's remembering them. Oh, those confessionals and the rosary beads and penance, only to go back to the confessional the following week. Silly rituals that are still entrenched in my mind.
Yes.
Wow.
Exactly.
You guys have that in common. Corinne loves her rosemary beads.
I like Coco.
All right.
I'm going to call her Coco from now on.
My sister-in-law goes by the name Coco. Her name was Colette. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. I know we had another thought on this before we moved on. What was the other thing we were talking about?
About
the different scriptures and what they say. We're a little confusing. So we chose NLT.
Yes.
And so what's different about NLT that makes it, is it something we use when we need something, need to understand something a little bit better?
Well,
like that message?
It's so some are supposed to be, so NIV, the goal is to be to get the point across in contemporary language. Mm-hmm. NASB and NLT are trying to be more true to the actual words. So they don't mind if they use more words. NIV, from what I've been explained by people, but a lot of people do not like NIV, is a synopsis. And that's what people don't like. Mm-hmm. That it's not a literal translation. It's more like a conceptual translation. Not like the Message, which is completely a narrative. It seems to be very different than the actual Greek or Hebrew. But so the difference is it a conceptual translation or is it a literal word for word translation? So NLT is contemporary word for word, more specific than NIV is.
I gotcha. Cool. Anything else on the devotional that you comes to mind?
Well, yeah, there was that other sentence that I liked at the end.
Peter,
if you pray and if I yield and trust, perhaps we're going to get from Peter what he intended. And I like the fact, did we talk about this already? That it's required. Okay. That it requires both the listener and the speaker to pray to yield the trust, because we have to pray that we understand. The speaker, the preacher, has to yield and trust that God will speak through him. And then there is this pipeline of spiritual messaging. And I truly feel that. I feel that when I go into church, I put myself in a particular mindset to hear from the Lord. And I really pray very hard that I will. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I've walked into a church ever where I did not hear something that the Lord had for me to hear.
Right.
Regardless of how, you know, silly the message was or how crowded the church was or uncrowded it was or how boring the pastor may have been, I still feel like I got something because God's word went forth. That's the best way I could think about it.
How much
Kathy used regular English. NIV is a paraphrase.
Paraphrase.
I use the word synopsis, thank conceptual, you. But that's a very simple that's word.
Yeah. Get that purpose. The speaker, especially in a pastor, like in a public speaker. So I before I did devotionals, I would often speak on stage about different things. What was most important for me to know is the audience.
Right.
So that I knew who I was speaking to, and you had to speak to them in a way that they would actually listen.
Yes.
If I spoke to my dog training, if I spoke to my attorneys, the way that I spoke to my dog training people, my attorneys would have like said, you know, who is this guy? We're a bunch of 10-year-olds.
Yeah.
And then the vice versa. I spoke to my dog training customers the way I speak to attorneys. They would go, okay, you're speaking over my head. So is there a responsibility, a person who's preaching to understand where their audience is and their faith?
Good question. I mean, in most churches, that probably would be impossible, right?
I don't know. I bet. Can I use Friends Church as an example?
Sure.
I don't mean to pick on them. But if Pastor Jack were to preach like he does at Calvary Chapachino Hills and just go to Friends Church and begin speaking the way he does, I think so many people would leave. You know what I mean? So
I think you know the culture of your church.
The cult, that's good.
Yes.
That is
you may not know where each of their walks are, how well they know God or how well they don't, but you know the culture of the church. And oftentimes I think the culture is not so much about their biblical stance, other than they only like bite-sized stuff. They only like stuff that is, you know, about self-help. They only like stuff that will make them feel good by the time they leave. You know, right. I think these little things, and I think a lot of it's assumption. Because we know tons of people that left that church because it wasn't deep enough. So they wanted more, but the church wasn't willing to give them that. Right?
Yep.
I mean, I've met a lot of people from you that felt that way. Karina, very confused. About what, my dear?
Let us help. I remember watching Pastor Jack speaking at a young crowd. I think it was high schoolers, if I'm not mistaken. And there was a moment there that I felt like I didn't recognize him. Because I felt like he was struggling just a little bit.
To bring it down.
To speak to that crowd.
That happened.
And it was a huge crowd. And I just, you know, knowing him like we do, we haven't been around him for 20 years, but we know him well enough, I think. I just right away felt, I think he was trying to engage, but he wasn't comfortable in trying to engage to their age group. So that's
because it's just not his age group.
Yeah.
Ever.
It was a little bit difficult.
Yeah.
I think he ended up catching up right about in the middle of the message, but I could tell that.
And he explained a similar concept when he was at the Babylon Bee interview, right? Where he loves those guys, but the jokester nature of it was also not normal for him.
Yeah.
He's not used to people like joking around and poking fun and, you know, like that kind of was off-putting for him too,
right.
You know? So I think it all depends on what we're used to.
But she caught on. Whatever it was, Coco caught on.
Oh, okay. Good.
You know, this devotional we read is again, it's a Tozer for the Christian leader. So this devotional is for pastors and, you know, not worship leaders necessarily, but probably, youth pastors and that kind of stuff. So I think that sometimes it comes off a little bit differently than we're talking to people that aren't pastors, other than Cindy that comes on there from time to time. But I love it. I love it because it's helping me understand what it is I need to listen to when we're listening to our pastor. Quite often, this is, I think it's been good for me to listen to what it is that I should be trusting in from a pastor. Maybe not trusting, you know, listening to God's word a little bit more differently. Not differently, but with discernment.
Right.
So I think it's been pretty good. Coco says,
yes, if it's just one sentence, I'm grateful. God willing, it's more than a sentence, but yes.
So today we were at, remember yesterday, we ended the show saying, okay, we're going to listen to Pastor Bob. And I almost knew as soon as I said that, I go, what if Pastor Bob's not there? What am I going to do? And of course, we went to Calvary Chapel East Anaheim today, as we do more recently. And Pastor Bob was not there today.
No.
Instead, Josh was. What's Josh's last name?
Tirada.
Tirada. How did I not ever know that? Tirada? Mm-hmm. Josh Tirada was speaking today. I love him. He's a great youth pastor. And this is the second time I've heard him give a message, and I've loved them both. I always, I think I said this last time, that I think the church is in good hands if Josh sticks around and happens to be there when Bob perhaps decides to retire.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that sometimes some pastors stay on too long because there's nobody to take their place.
Right.
And I think that fortunately, if Josh was that man, that he would be a good replacement for Bob.
Yeah. Don't put him out to pasture.
No, yet. I'm just saying. Bob's not old enough yet.
He's not old enough.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Fans,
so what did you think about today's message?
I think it was awesome. Yep. It was awesome. When I have to admit, when he said on the road to Emmaus, that was our scripture today, I was like, oh, are we again? Like, how many interpretations of on the road to Emmaus can we hear? Mm-hmm. But it was not at all what I expected.
No, I thought it was awesome.
It was awesome. It was awesome. And just he did a lot of nugget teaching.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he went through at least a dozen scripture, but he did these pithy little sayings, some of which we want to share, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So he tells a story about him praying for his wife. I just loved that story. So he's just saying he was out with his wife and they have a young son, and he felt his wife burdened, that she was just stressed. The morning wasn't going well. And he was just playing with his son, and he was like, Lord, can you just ease the burden on her? And she's just tired. And he called it a complaining prayer. And he walked back over to her after playing with his son, and she's like, did you just pray for me? And he looks around, and he's like, yeah, I did. And he's like, if that's what you call what I just did, complaining to God. And she said she felt this wave of joy and peace wash over her. And I was like, that is so spectacular that you have such a love connection with God that you could say to him, Lord Jesus, Lord, can you bless my spouse right now? They just need your hand. They just need your love. And for them to immediately feel it. This is spectacular.
That's one of those moments that we were talking about yesterday that you might miss if you weren't engaged like they are in the church.
Exactly.
Like, anybody else would not even ask that question of their spouse.
Right? They wouldn't have known.
Oh God! I suddenly feel good.
I shook it off. Change.
Yeah, I shook it off.
Yeah, I shook it off.
The little squirrel that ran by me. He, just the joy of seeing that little squirrel made me happy.
Right.
That's the moment with God that you might not have known that you had.
Exactly.
The way he was speaking to you.
Exactly. And then just talking about so the story, of course, of the road to Emmaus is Jesus is veiled from them. He doesn't reveal himself to them. And they're complaining about the fact that they expected Jesus was going to save them and he was going to rescue them from the Romans. And then all of that fell apart and all their promises were broken, and how important it is that if you truly love God, then to put your faith in him means you trust him even when he doesn't meet your expectations. So you don't look at the world through what he gave you or doesn't give you. You just love him for who he is. And I think that's something Tozer keeps trying to tell us too, which is you have to be in love with God, not what God gives you, but who God is. And the more we read the Bible and the more we learn, and it's really dependent on pastors, the perspective through which they teach. Mm-hmm. Are they trying to instill a love for God or a love for what God will do? Because inevitably, if you are raised with the thought that God keeps giving you something, you will be sorely disappointed when he doesn't give what you expect.
Awesome. You know, the one thing I got from this particular portion of the talk today was it just made me think. You ever watch that show Undercover Boss? Have you ever heard of that show? Undercover Boss.
It's like a reality show.
Yeah, like the owner or the CEO of Costco goes undercover and begins to bag groceries with his workers and listens to them complain about Costco being a horrible place to work. No, or it's a great place to work. And I wrote down here, Jesus was the first undercover boss on the way to Emmaus. Then he went down there to see, I want to see what these people are talking about me and about what happened.
So true.
That was pretty ingenious. Well, he is God.
Yes. Yes.
So we got to experience what the people were saying about him.
So another one is God may hold back some of his promises to build your faith on his word before he shows you his works. So I definitely experienced that with him, where he made these very specific promises to me when I first came to faith, and they took years to come. And I grew so much in the waiting. Mm-hmm. That you almost, as you mature in Christ, you get used to the dance where you're like, I'm expecting these things from God, but I'm not going to get them now. And all of these things are going to grow in me while I wait, you know? And it's just, you're just walk with me, daughter, learn my ways. You know, I just hear that from him all the time. And it's just about walking with him. And I love the way Josh was saying that today too, where it's just, are we going to build that relationship with the Lord so that we depend on his character and who he is to us? Is it about Jesus? Not about what we get, but is it about him? Mm. Can we be honest? That's what I was thinking of. He's like, can we be honest enough? Because God already knows. So you're not really hiding anything.
Right.
Can we be honest enough to say, I'm tired, Lord. I don't know how much longer I can do this. Or my heart's breaking. I just need your help. And know that he's there in it with us.
Mm. Wow. There was only one. I mean, I have a bunch of them here, but I just, that one, don't put your faith in the future. Put your faith in the Father.
Yes.
How cool is that?
That was a good one. Again, you know, yeah. Don't depend on the outcome.
Yeah. He's going to pull us through. He's going to be there.
Yes.
Everything that he promised is true.
Yes.
And it doesn't mean that you're not going to go through stuff, but he's there walking with you through that stuff.
Yes. And amen. It's
important to remember.
I think that's it. And then you had some scriptures that you wanted to do. Oh, and I like this other advice that he gave. He said, don't be shocked that there's a huge battle to read the Bible or go to church. Mm-hmm. And we know a friend in one of our groups who has that. And we hear it actually often, which is like, I just can't read. I just can't read the Bible. I just can't pick it up. And you're just like, well, you have to start slowly. Let's just pick it up. Just read one page. And like, no, I can't. And I'm glad that Josh pointed that out, that it is the enemy knows he loses you when you pick it up. Mm. You know, and so it's a huge battle. It's a huge battle to get people to go to church. And there's a dear friend of ours that I don't know if she's listening right now, but who hasn't been able to come to our home church, which is what she considers her church. And I just keep telling her, I'm like, just come. I know you feel terrible. I know you're not well, but just come. Mm-hmm. Let us pray over you. Come for 5 minutes, you know? But there's just often such a struggle with the enemy over it. Because he wants you to stay in bondage.
Would it be helpful? I mean, just in case she is watching, tell the story of remember the lady that I met at church?
She was there. With me?
Oh, she was there.
She was there.
But no, tell her about what she just recently told you.
That she's still okay?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's too long of a story.
Is it too long?
Yeah. To explain the whole thing. But we had somebody that came and miraculously was healed and to this day is still feeling better. And she had, her cousin had called and said, you know, please continue to pray for Sheila and know that she was forever changed from that day. Wow.
From God. Not from coming to.
No, perhaps. Forever changed from just from receiving prayer, mm-hmm. You know, and having holy warriors intercede on her behalf, mm-hmm. at the throne of God.
I think that goes back to really early on in this broadcast where you talked about you gave yourself the chills telling that story.
No, is it? It's just freezing in here.
Is that you have the speaker who's speaking as close as he possibly can to what God is saying through his word.
Right.
So you have that. Then you have the person who needs to hear it, who is willing to listen, and is accepting it.
Accepting it. It's an open heart.
You have to have both.
Right.
Because sometimes we can have people.
Otherwise it's womp womp.
Yeah. That are like sincerely praying over you, but you're, this is so stupid. I don't even know why he came. They're blocking it.
Not able to receive.
Not able to receive it at all. But that Shelley, right? Her name?
Sheila.
She was willing, able, and
accepting. A willing vessel. Yes.
Accepting God's word. And his power working through.
And I experienced that. I don't know if I said it on the broadcast, but I know I said it to you. We had these dear friends of ours come to the home church once, and they were new visitors. And the gentleman is a pastor, and I was really happy to have him pray over me. And then at some point he just said, he's like, I've never said this before, but I pray sleep over you. I want to impart sleep on you. You're not sleeping. And the Lord is saying that I am imparting sleep to you. And it's so important that both sides are engaged. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because I was absolutely willing to accept that he was a vessel of the Lord. And by virtue of that, I received the impartation that he gave me. Mm-hmm. You know, but if I was not able to receive that and did not trust that he was a good vessel of the Lord, then that impartation would not have occurred.
Right.
You know? So I think it's just really important. We don't trust just nilly-willy people. No. But just go to people and be like, I really trust this person. But when it is somebody worthy of trust, it's awesome.
Corrine, I'm glad you're on, and anybody else who's fighting the teachers union for any reason, this particular scripture really seems to hit home. I may have to speak about this in one of my up and coming broadcasts.
Yes.
But it's 1 Peter 2:15. What does that say, Chinook?
For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people.
Foolish people. That's so good.
Andy's new life verse.
It is. I may have to get that tattooed.
Right?
Yep, on my arm.
And then you want to do 1 Peter 3:17?
Yes.
And then 1 Peter 3:17 is, for it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. And that may seem commonsensical, but it's not. It's not that you suffer for doing good than for doing evil. And to me, we were talking about this in the car, that it is true to me too, in terms of child rearing, where being hard on your kid to enforce biblical values is difficult. It's difficult on the parent, you know, playing police officer and custodian and guardsman and, you know, the enforcer is exhausting. It is so much easier than just be like, oh, my kid's off the rails, bye. And so it is, but there's a sense of reward that you get from God, that God, I am choosing to stand on your word, on your hill, and sacrifice whatever it is of my own time, energy, patience, because I believe this is the right thing to do, which I think is exactly what that scripture is saying.
Absolutely. I think those two go together, obviously. That's probably why they were read together, because it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. But when you're doing that, when you're doing good, you're going to get pushback. They're going to attack you. And so then you have to understand that. If it's God's will to suffer for doing good, than for doing evil, that's the outcome, that you will suffer a little bit as you are doing what is right.
Yes. And right after that, he gave us Ephesians 5:15-20, where he says, be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, yes, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit.
Amen.
Right there. Amen,
bring,
Lord.
Bring it all together.
Yep.
After church, we went shooting.
We did.
We went to a new place called Iron Mike's.
It's the most expensive shooting experience I think I've ever had. It was like the Beverly Hills shooting.
Yeah, and that's why we had to buy ammo. But it was a nice, clean place. It's brand new.
Yes.
The people were very friendly, very helpful.
We're not really good with people that try to be helpful. She came over to us once, and that was it. The rest of the day, she left us alone.
Yeah, well. But
and I don't like people touching me. It was really awkward. Because it was really awkward. She came up behind me and she's like, let me help you, grabbed my arm, put my hand around the gun, and was grabbing both my arms. She's like, this is what you do. And I was like, this is a bit aggressive. It's a bit aggressive for me. I need you to give me personal space distance.
I was gonna get a mostly good report.
Yes.
But they're very helpful.
You like that sort of thing.
Most people, I maybe should tell them that, you know, you need to ask somebody before you touch them.
Yes.
Say, hey, do you mind if I show you?
Yeah.
You don't have to say, do you mind if I touch you, you know, aggressively? No. Just say.
Do you mind if I touch you aggressively? I'm going to start with that's a no.
They should say, hey, can I show you? Where to place your hands?
Can I physically show you?
Yeah,
you know what? No.
Something.
No. Can you just do an air shot? Because I prefer you don't touch me.
Overall, it was a good place.
It was.
They're brand new.
I've never seen in any shooting range I've been to, I don't know about you, that they broom around you. Have you ever seen that? Because when I go, usually they make you broom.
I've been to both. I mean, I've been to Idaho. Yeah. A very nice range in Idaho. It was fantastic. But they cleaned up pretty much.
They did the clean. They didn't make you do it.
No, they didn't make you, but you could do it if you needed to get some of your brass out of your path.
But it looked like he wasn't willing to give up that broom. He was like holding on to it like that. It wasn't like he rested it over. He can pick it up. He was like, don't touch my broom.
I think for a new shooter, I think Iron Mike's is a good place.
Yes. For a new shooter.
But just understand, it is a little expensive.
Yeah.
A little expensive. Yeah. But the ammo, I don't think the ammo costs any more than it does at other places.
Oh, really?
No, it's about the same. Ammo's expensive nowadays.
Yeah. Makes sense.
So when we had to buy ammo, it took the price to, and the, it was $200 for us.
$260.
That's so expensive.
Honestly, if I knew how much it was going to be, I wouldn't have gone. Sorry.
So we have Rahagi's, where we went a couple days ago.
It was awesome, other than the outhouse. I would have liked a normal bathroom, but other than that, I love it.
So Rahagi's, that's in Corona. Mike Rahagi is the man's name who opened it years ago. I think he's passed since, but I'm not 100% sure. If you're still alive, Mike, I'm sorry. But it's on dirt, and we have more room. I love it, and it's fairly inexpensive.
Yeah,
and it's good to go, and you can move around. And
I love my old place. I used to go the range out in Westlake.
You know what it makes me want to do?
What?
Open a range. I would do a little mix of Rahagi's and Iron Mike's.
Well, that's what my place in Westlake was like. It was a little rougher. I don't know if I like it so fancy. Yeah. Also, James Bondy.
There is a great place out in that area on the way out to, actually on the way out to Magic Mountain. There's another place out there.
Valencia?
Yeah. Very, very nice. It's huge. Huge place.
Kate says, I used to shoot a rifle at the rifle range before our guns were taken off us. Aww. Oh,
yeah.
I hate that you guys don't get to your guns.
Yeah. Forget that.
I can't imagine ever giving them back.
Yeah, I would not. I would not stay. I don't know where I would go, because what place allows you to have guns out of the United States of America?
Where?
You can't even take a bullet into that island place, wherever they were. Caicos and whatever that's called. What's that place called? Turks and Caicos. Yeah. You get 12 years for one single bullet that's stuck in your backpack.
That's from wild.
1999.
That's wild. We should land this plane.
We should land this plane. It's 48 minutes. All right. Did we get any prayer requests? I don't think we did.
Yeah, we did early on for the tornadoes.
Oh, that's right.
Kathy and the bad weather.
Yes.
Lord, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you that your word goes forth with power, that it shall not return void, that it will serve and do the purpose that it sets out to. And that purpose, Lord, is to refine us, to grow us in faith in you and love and trust in your word, Lord, and what you will do in and through us, Lord. So thank you for making us believers. And we pray over our loved ones, Lord, that each and every one of them will come to saving faith in Christ. We hope sooner rather than later, Lord, but that you do not let them depart this world without knowing you, without coming to saving faith in Christ. We also pray for healing for all of our friends that are suffering from illnesses, Lord, that need your healing hand and your complete restoration with knees and back and eyes and heart. All of our friends, Lord, that are suffering, we ask for your healing hand be upon them. And for the extreme weather, Lord, where it's happening around Kathy and her friends and other states around the United States and in other parts of the world, Lord, that you will calm the storms, that they will be stilled by your voice, by your sound, and that people will be safe in these regions, Lord. We love you. We offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, and we ask and expect all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. All right, my friends. We love you guys.
Take care. Happy Sunday. Oh, and happy Memorial Day.
Oh, yes.
For those of you in the United States,
be careful.
Yes.
As you're celebrating.
Be careful.
Bye-bye. Take care. God bless.